Hello and welcome to the second Sports Vibe podcast brought to you from Vibe 107.6. It's a podcast that we bring you all the local sports news around the southwest Hertfordshire area. I'm not going to do this alone though. I'm joined by Noah Abrahams, our sports reporter who is up in Derby and joins us via Skype. Hi Noah.
Hi Ryan, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And we're also joined by a special guest inside the studio today. Some means we've got to be on our best behaviour, Noah. It's Howard Groves, who's the managing director of Vibe 107.6. How are you doing, Howard?
Hi, Ryan. Yeah, well, thank you.
Howard, you were at the Crystal Palace game last week, which is why we brought you in to get your insight on the Watford game. But we all were chatting and I thought we'd just start really by talking about the bigger picture of football as we go forward in the next couple of weeks or even towards the end of the season. For the first time, I think, really in my lifetime, and it could be for you, Howard, and maybe Noah as well, we could end up not finishing the season, which is going to be a real shame to football supporters, or matches could be played behind closed doors. Of course, as we record this, there is rumours coming that the season may be played behind closed doors, which is going to be difficult to take as fans. But Howard, I mean, in terms of, you've watched a lot of football, I guess, in your life, have you ever known this before?
Not as severe as what we're seeing in Italy, and looks almost like inevitably it's going to come to this country. I do remember when there was the miners' strike, and of course there were blackouts, no lights at all, basically, and all football matches used to take place at really weird times. And I can remember Hendon having a replay with Newcastle United and ending up playing at Vicarage Road at something like 11 o'clock in the morning, and bunking off school halfway through school to go up and watch it. But yeah, they used to then have to play matches at bizarre times during midweek to try and fit them in so they didn't use any power or electricity, basically. That's probably the closest I can remember in terms of disruption, but I would imagine that what we're going to see is going to be pretty incomparable.
Yeah, I just think it's important to say the reason why we're discussing this is, of course, the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak, which has started to affect sport all around the globe. Noah, as a big sports fan, you know, this is going to be hard to take, but I mean, what's your general thoughts on it?
Well, it affects everything I'm doing in terms of sports journalism, and it just affects my life as a sports fan. I think with the Premier League, I don't want to see games behind closed doors. Personally, I'd rather games be postponed. I was like Pep Guardiola was saying, football's like theatre. You don't go to the theatre and see an empty stage. Actors don't perform for empty audiences. Actors perform for the crowd. So without a crowd, there's no football for me. I think games should be postponed.
Yeah, it's going to be strange. I mean, a couple of games I've noticed, well, in the last couple of days, as PSG Champions League match against Borussia Dortmund, it just doesn't feel the same watching the games behind closed doors. But obviously, for public health, you can understand the logic in it. But what I think it's important to focus on here is say, Watford's situation now. The football club fighting for relegation. You know, it must be a concern, especially as a big business, as a Premier League club as well, that, you know, you may not have the 12th man behind you if you're going to have to play the games behind closed doors.
I actually think they're going to struggle to finish the league. If you look at what's happening elsewhere, say Italy, whilst they've tried to play behind closed doors, it's only going to take a couple of players in one team or a couple of teams. Matches they're supposed to be playing are not going to happen. They're going to run out of time to try and fit all the matches in. And I kind of feel that we might be living in a bit of a fool's paradise, really, because I can understand the Premier League trying to get some matches on TV and what have you, and that's the real driver. Agree totally with you, Noah, that playing matches without a crowd is ridiculous. Clearly, they want to generate some revenue. But the fact is, if you see what else is going on elsewhere around the world, we won't complete the season. We will not be able to get all the matches in. I mean, do they just go, it's a null and void season? Or do they go, where you finished is where you finish? I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how it develops. But my gut feel would be that they'll struggle to finish the season.
I think there could even be a summer Premier League where they finish the last six, seven, eight games of the season in the summer. And I'd prefer that to saying the season's complete as it is, because that's not fair. On teams like Bournemouth, you know, as much as we as Watford fans want Bournemouth to struggle, it's not fair on them. They've got the same amount of games left as Watford to prove their Premier League status. So I don't think the season should finish as it is. And I don't think they should cancel it, because that's not fair on Liverpool either. So I think they should play the games into the summer get the players back from Dubai and warm weather training. It's not going to harm them. And then have a week or two before the Premier League season starts again.
The problem with that, Noah, is that how would you plan for the following season? Because you won't know which teams are going to be in which leagues. You've got to set out all the fixtures. Police always have an input into the fixtures. The TV companies have an input into the fixtures. That takes weeks and weeks to sort out. You just have to look between the gap between releasing the fixtures and when they actually confirm first matches are going to be in that first month or 6 weeks. I personally don't think playing the matches later on logistically can work at all unless you start moving the start of the next season back until October. And then, of course, you run into lots of issues. I mean, we don't actually know what's going to happen with the Euros, got World Cup qualifiers. Everything will start to concertina. So the best plan, actually, is to cut your losses and regroup and start a game from afresh when we know pretty much we can start again in August.
No, would you have any arguments to if, say, the whole Premier League and Football League came together and said, look, because of the situation is completely out of our control, we're just going to stop the season now and we'll start the 2020-21 season with exactly the same teams in each league that started in 2019?
I don't think in the Premier League that would be an issue. I think in the Championship, you speak to a Leeds fan and I think they'd go bananas if they found out they were denied the chance to go up this season. Safety has to come first. I think that's always the priority. Some of the managers in the top four divisions are elderly. You look at Roy Hodgson in his 70s. If the coronavirus were to Premier League football and he was there, that's a risk. So you've got to consider risks. But I think on a team like Leeds or West Brom, I don't think that would be the right solution.
And I don't think it also helps as well if you look further down to the leagues like League One. Bury dropped out of the league due to financial problems. Bolton started the league with a huge points difference. I mean, it really is a bit of a pickle to work out, really, for, well, I guess anyone in terms of sport, the government. And of course, we'll be right across it. But as fans, you know, it's a terrible situation, but obviously understand that public safety comes first. But what are we going to do without football?
It's craziness.
There are going to be winners and losers. One of the losers could be Liverpool. So you either rejoice at that or cry in your beer. I'm not sure which.
Let's move on to Watford, shall we? Because as it stands, Watford are due to play Leicester City on Saturday. It's a 12:30 kickoff on BT Sport. Early one if you get into Watford. But first, let's reflect on what was quite a disappointing match at Selhurst Park for Watford, especially after coming off the back of the 3-0 victory for Liverpool. Howard, you were at Selhurst Park on Saturday. Not a good result, really.
No, not a good result. Not a great performance. I think generally the spirit of the fans that went down was made even worse by what has to be perhaps one of the worst Premier League grounds for away supporters in terms of facilities and general match ambience. But in terms of the team, coming off the back of the Liverpool match where just about everything seemed to go right for us, we just didn't come anywhere near those levels. And I guess one's always expecting a bit of a scrap against Palace. They don't play very expansive football even at home, score very few goals at home, so you kind of know what you're going to get. But I think for us, where it went most wrong was that around their penalty box, either the pass that would have worked against Liverpool didn't get to the right person, the choices weren't correct, the shots just weren't good enough. It was really around the 18-yard box, I felt, we just were off the level that we were against Liverpool. And not taking chances is something that's been a bit of a problem this season. And very much came home to roost, I felt, against Palace. That and the goal that we conceded, which was poor, totally convinced I understood why Cavaselli felt the need to go to the ground up on the halfway line under a challenge. That immediately left the defence stretched. And then we had a chance to cut, you know, to block AU out. We failed to do that. And the shot was pretty difficult for Foster to save. Other than that, Foster probably made one save with his legs in the second half, which kind of shows how much of the ball we had and how limited Palace were going forward. But for me, it was all about what we did around the box, which, to be fair, wasn't up to standard.
Who do you think are the weak links in Watford's side as we head towards the end of the season?
I mean, I think we all recognise that the club probably didn't invest in certain positions as they should have done during the summer. I think the defence can look a little bit under pressure at times. Biggest problem is that if we've got a forward line of Deeney, Saar and Deulofeu, you always feel there's a chance. But when one of those is missing, then we do look a little lopsided. And now we've got Deulofeu missing. And to be honest, Pereira just isn't the same type of player. You know, Danny Welbeck's clearly not ready to come back properly yet.
Do you think it's time to change formation?
That's a really interesting point, isn't it? It looks to me like Pearson is reluctant to change formation and is trying to make that work. Whether he'll think about switching somebody into that wider position that Pereira's been taking up and adapting it. So could Hughes play up there and Chalobah come into the centre?
Noah, what would you do if you were Nigel Pearson?
I'd sort out the decision-making for one. I think I agree with Howard in the final third. It's not good enough. They're not sharp enough. You can say that they can invest in the summer, but you need to get to the summer transfer window first. Scoring goals is a big problem for Watford. I saw a stat this week that Crystal Palace and Watford combined haven't scored as many goals as Leicester have in total this season. I think it's going forward where the problems are. Possibly change formation so that it helps the attackers. But Nigel Pearson needs to sort out his side because this is getting serious now.
I think I'm at the view that I believe that we somehow need to find a way to get Chalobah back into the side. In our good form, he was at the centre of it, really, him and Kapu in midfield. I know you've got to find a way to get Hughes into the side, and that could be moving him wider left. He did actually play there under Javi Gracia last season, so I don't think it would be too much of a risk to do that. And he is good on the ball. He can take people on. He can win the ball back. And I just feel like with Chalobah coming back into the side, you can then use Pereira as more of an impact sub towards the end of matches, where we saw against Bournemouth, where he can come on and score an extra goal. You know, it's all down to Nigel Pearson at the end of the day. You know, they'll move on to Leicester City at home as it stands on Saturday. It's going to be an interesting game, this one, because Nigel Pearson, Craig Shakespeare have close ties to Leicester City. And Brendan Rodgers, of course, has a lot of history with Watford as well. It's going to be a game with bites. I think every single game in the Premier League this year is.
Absolutely. Jamie Vardy's also on his 100th Premier League goal. He's going to want to score that very badly. That's the man to keep out of the action, Jamie Vardy. I don't think they'll start Iheanacho. They come off the back of a 4-0 win against Aston Villa, so Leicester look really strong. They're in the quarter-final of the FA Cup. Watford really need to nullify all elements of their attack, which I think they can do. We know Watford can do it. We know Watford can beat the bigger sides at home or get results against the bigger sides at home.
Well, I actually think it's going to be a really tough match now. There was a little period where Leicester weren't playing at top form, but one sort of feels that with Vardy back and looking at the way they sort of tore Aston Villa apart, they're back on song now. It's a difficult one to call, isn't it, for Watford? Do they go sort of right at it quite aggressively and try and get the crowd behind them, or do they kind of sit back and make it difficult and hit them on the counter-attack? I think you just have a go at it and see where you get to. I think that's where Watford are probably better when they do that, as they demonstrated against Liverpool. So I'd hope they do that. I think the team selection's important. I do think this is looking an even tougher match this week than it was, say, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
So Watford, of course, face Leicester City at home at Vicarage Road as it stands on Saturday at 12:30 p.m. It's live on BT Sport. Howard, me and Noah always try and guess the score. Going to put you under pressure now. What's your score prediction?
Well, I'd like to think we could get a draw, but I'm really worried about this one. I've got to say, I think it could be 2-0 to Leicester. That's what I'd go for.
I'm also worried Watford have only won one in the last seven. I think 2-1 Leicester. Then again, Leicester have only won one of their last eight games against when Stuart Atwell's been referee, so you never know, but I don't think...
That's clutching to straws, isn't it, that one?
It really is. I don't think Watford have the strongest of chances, so yeah, 2-1 Leicester.
Look, I'm going to bring some positivity to it. We'll look forward to welcoming Stuart Atwell back to Vicarage Road. I'm sure he always gets a nice welcome whenever he comes back. I'm going to say Watford are going to win 2-1. I think Troy Deeney's going to play a major part to that, and so is Ismaili Sarr. So there we go, bit of positivity. So Noah, we'd like to round up the local sports news briefly. I want to touch upon St Albans, because they've worked their way back into the National League South, and if you happen to look at the table, blimey, that is a relegation battle and a half. I think up to eight teams are in the running for that. What's your view on St Albans? Do you think they're going
to
do it?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. Huge game this weekend away to Braintree. Only a point splits them. It's 19th Braintree versus 21st St Albans City, and there's only 2 points in it between five places at the bottom, so it is extremely close. I think St Albans have the spirit, the hunger. I reckon they will do it, actually. And I'd like to see them get a result at Braintree this weekend. They're a good outfit to have in the National League South. I think they add a lot to it.
Yeah, and it's fair to say Stevenage pretty doomed, really, at the bottom of League Two. Unfortunately, I guess they'll be hoping the leagues are going to be written off. They're now 8 points adrift at the bottom of the Football League, looking like they can go to the National League. How would you sometimes go and watch Stevenage?
Do, yeah, it's a real shame, actually, because, you know, they've got a little following up there in Stevenage, which is good because a lot of people up that way support Spurs and Arsenal. I think it'll be a sad day, I think, when they go down, because they could struggle to get back up. They've just done some improvements to the ground. So they've had a disastrous season. And as you say, Ryan, unless something around the coronavirus saves them, they are going to be going down, aren't they?
Well, that brings us to the end of the Sports Vibe podcast. Howard, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Just to get your insight on sport. And Noah, up there in Derby, keep yourself well.
You too.
You got any football plan for this weekend?
I'm covering the GB boxing in London this week. It's the road to Tokyo, which we might not get to Tokyo, but it's the Olympic boxing qualifying. So I'm hoping Anthony Joshua will be there. It's where he started, of course. So if he comes back to his roots, then it'll be nice to see him. And maybe, if I'm being optimistic, we could get something for Sports Vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you only have to issue the brand name of Vibe 107.6 and he'll say yes immediately. And to you, the listener, thank you very much for listening and downloading the podcast. Of course, share it around as of where you can, and we'll look forward to keeping you updated in the coming weeks, of course, on the coronavirus, how that's going to affect sport, and let's hope the Premier League and Football League can continue, and National League, of course, can all continue. Thanks for listening.